Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for joining us on My Journey of Faith Radio today. I am sitting here just looking out at the beautiful scenery that God has given us in our area. It's just a sunshiny day, a little nippy, but it is so beautiful. And, you know, that is just how God gives us things. He gives us things to delight our souls, takes us through the different areas of our life, and finding joy in the journey. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. My guest is Julie Salva, and she has a blog, Finding Joy in the Journey, and I guess it's a website too. And it was fun just kind of looking over her site and just seeing different things. And I want to introduce a little bit about her. She has she is a fan of Top 10 lists. And so she's put on a few things that were just fun to me, that she is a Jesus-loving girl, and that she's been married to her husband, Mark, for almost 25 years, and she has a 17-year-old son. And I love that she puts on here, she is fluent in teenage boy talk. And I tell you, I'm a mama boys, and I love being a mama boys, and finding that being fluent in how they speak is kind of fun, and being able to interpret how they are. Her family and friends are it for her, and God has blessed her with some great ones. She's a totally addicted to Diet Mountain Dew, People's Magazine, and So You Think You Can Dance, and other shows like that. She used to be an English teacher, and she loved it. There's just so many things on here that are so fun that I love, and that she loves college football. Again, that mom and boy thing. We were laughing the other day. I'm probably one of the only moms that keep up with the draft. that is our thing. So, Julie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I'm excited to be here. It's funny listening to you share that top 10 list, because I'd like to be able to say that I'm a little deeper than that, but I'm not. Every one of those things are true. And I'm sitting here with a Diet Mountain Dew right now, and I'm laughing to myself when you talked about the football draft, because I am right there with you. Not only do I know about the draft, I even watched the combine with my husband, so I'm ashamed to tell you that, but maybe we could do another talk show one day about two girls talking about football.
Exactly. I have another friend that I've talked with before, and we talked football just as much as what God was doing. It's fun.
It's a fun sport to follow. So
it is.
So I'm
it
excited
is.
To be here, and thank you for having me on today.
Well, I am so glad that you joined me. Well, let's get into your story a little bit, finding joy in the journey, and let's just kind of talk about your story of how you found that joy.
Well, it's funny. I'll tell you a little bit about myself first, and that'll kind of lead into my story. I was one of those kids that they say, and I know that those of y'all who have gone to church before have heard this joke 1,000 times, so just make it 1,001 right now, but I was one of the kids that had a drug problem. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was there at church, and as a young child in elementary school, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and loved him, and loved the whole idea of Jesus, and him saving me and him loving me. And I went through vacation Bible schools, I went through youth group all the way up into high school, went on to college, and met my husband there in college. We got married, we were going to church, and really, if you were to look at my life, you would think it was pretty good, because it was. I had never really encountered anything too horribly difficult. I had never really gone through any kind of major trauma. And so for me, life was pretty much the white picket fence journey. And Christ was certainly a part of that. but he wasn't the focus of that. And I think for me the reason was I didn't really understand how much I needed him until I realized how much I needed him. And here's what happened with that. After my husband and I had been married for a year or two, we were living in Tallahassee, Florida. He was coaching football, and our friends kind of started to get pregnant. I think all of us go through that. You know, we get married, we're all newlyweds together, and then we look around, and our friends are starting to you know, build a family. And so Mark and I thought, you know, this kind of makes sense. I think it's time for us. Let's start a family too. And so we tried to do that. And time went by, several months went by, you know, and everybody said, oh, you're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. You know, you'll get pregnant, and it's going to be great. And those months turned into a year, and a year turned into doctor's appointments, and doctor's appointments turned into more years. And I began a cycle of disappointment, dismay, frustration, anger at God, because I began a cycle of no for 7 years. And every time we would go to the doctor, every time we would try something new, God just closed that door. And I started on a journey of infertility. And what that journey did for me is that it put me in a place that I suddenly realized that this Jesus, who I had known ever since I was a young child, had a journey for me that he was going to walk on with me. You know, the word tells us he walks ahead of us and he walks behind us. He was going to walk on that journey with me. And on that journey, I was going to get to know him pretty well. Because I'll tell you what, when I was on that journey, we had some times in our marriage where, frankly, both Mark and I were angry at God, very angry at God, because, you know, we would look around and we would ask the question, God, why? You know, why? We would be good parents. We would be God-fearing parents. We would raise a child the way that you would want him raised. Why is it that you're not answering my prayer? And don't you think, Cynthia, that that's a question that anybody asks on their journey?
Exactly.
Why is it, God, that you're not answering my prayer? You know, your journey may not be infertility. If you're out there listening, your journey may be something else. You may have a journey through a job loss. You may have a journey with a sickness. You may have a journey with a child. You know, who knows what kind of journeys we're all on, other than the fact that we are all on a journey. And so that question is, God, why aren't you answering my prayer, became the foremost thought in my mind for a number of years. And, you know, the thing of it is, this is, I guess, the point in the conversation where I would like to stand up like a wise sage on a mountain and say to you, the reason that God does not answer our prayer the way we want is, and then kind of fill in that blank for you. But you know what? What I learned on my journey is that I was asking the wrong question. The question of, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? God, why aren't you solving this for me? God, if you're a good God and I've kind of played by the rules, you know, I've been the good girl, I'm kind of playing the game your way, why aren't you giving me what it seems like I should have? You know, why aren't you doing the God thing the way that I think you ought to do the God thing? And the question that I learned along my journey and that has brought me so much joy now as I've continued on is that I don't need to ask God why he isn't answering my questions, why he isn't doing things the way that I want him to do, because I've come to a realization through him that he ordains every step of my life, that he knew me before I was born. He knows everything about me. He knows everything that's to come, and he knows everything that I'll encounter. And the best thing about all of that is that every bit of it will be worked for his good. Every bit of it will. And once I learned that lesson, as I was going through my journey with him, questions began to change. It wasn't, God, why aren't you doing this for me? It was, God, how can we use this to bring you glory? Now, I want you to know right now that me saying that, Cynthia, that took a lot. that took a long time because I don't want anybody going through a situation on the other side of this conversation that we're having to think that I'm being flippant and to think that I'm just saying, oh, just you know, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be good for God's glory. Because the fact of the matter is, it is all going to be good for God's glory. But that's a hard thing to say sometimes, don't you think?
Exactly. It is.
It's a hard thing. Well, to fast forward a little bit in my journey, I remember one time I was driving down the road. We were still trying to have a child, and I was on my way to a luncheon. And the funny thing about this is, you know, this was a luncheon. This was a girls' luncheon, so I was looking all cute, and I had my makeup all perfect, and, you know, I was ready to go be all girly with these other ladies. And it was during the time when the Brooklyn Tabernacle was kind of at its peak. You know that music, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and all. And I will tell you, I like to sing, but I am the perfect joyful noise maker. It's not a
Amen,
good
sister,
noise, but it is joyful. It is joyful. So I was driving down the interstate. At this time, we were in South Carolina. We had moved on. And I was driving down the interstate, and a song from the Brooklyn Tab came on, and it's called He's Been Faithful. And one of the choruses for that song said this: at times I have questioned and even failed to believe, but He's been faithful to me. And Cynthia, I just started crying as I was driving down the interstate. All my cute mascara was running down my face. I looked like the Joker in Batman. But I was just crying because that was such a sign to me from God that, hey, He still knew what I was going through. He still knew what was going on, and He wasn't going anywhere. You know, that's one of the things I've learned about journeys, too. When you're on a journey with the Lord, it isn't just like a partial deal. It's not like He goes with you part of the way and says, you know what, I think you're going to be good. I'm going to go on, and now I'm going on a journey with somebody else, and hey, good luck to you, Julie. You hang in there and do your best and move on. No, the Word tells us He's with us every minute of that journey. And to get that realization through that song that, you know what, He's still here with me, that gave me the courage to keep going and to keep going and to keep going. And about a year later, I was here in Nashville. And it's funny, actually, you know, I live in a little town outside of Nashville now. And the fact that this next part of my story happened in Nashville when we didn't live here at the time. We were here for a football game. And it's funny, but my friend and I, our husbands were coaching, and we were walking down a street on the campus of Vanderbilt University. And I was talking to her. She was a mentor to me, and I was talking to her again about my struggle and about our journey with infertility. And she looked at me and she said, Julie, she said, do you want to have a baby or do you want to be a mom? And it was at that instant that this whole thing became crystal clear to me that, you know what, I want to be a mom. And it was like God took my thoughts and what I thought needed to happen, and He just kind of turned me. And my husband and I, this was in October, my husband and I started a journey toward adoption, and our son, remember this was in October, our son was born in January. In fact, he was born on my mother's birthday. And when he was born, it was very, very clear that he was ours. And, you know, one part of the journey now that I can look back on and say, you know what, God, everything is going to be done to your glory, I can say this. Every minute of that journey led us to our son, Matt. And if I had to write down on a piece of paper, not knowing Matt, if I had to write down on a piece of paper everything that I would want my son to be like, it would be just like my son. It would be just like Matt. And that's another lesson for the journey. When God chooses when your journey is over, God has the perfect ending for your journey. Now, for me, that was our son Matthew. Sometimes the perfect ending for the journey doesn't look like what we want it to look like, does it? Sometimes that perfect ending is very, very difficult to get through. But the fact of the matter is, as we go through it, we can still cling to the fact that this is what God has for us. And we can trust Him, and we can trust in the fact that it's going to be perfect for us. So that was really the first part of a journey for me where I had to depend totally on God, totally on His plan, because I couldn't control any part of it. I couldn't control any part of it. And as time went on, other journeys come our way. And for me, the same thing happened. We've gone through journeys in my family with job loss. We've gone through journeys in my family with illnesses. We've gone through journeys in my family with cancer. We've gone through journeys with people being healed in heaven as they walk through the gates. You know, we've gone through a lot of different things, but I'm glad you're saying that
because there are so many people that think that there's just one journey,
right?
That it's just
right.
We make it through this and we're done. But I'm glad you are saying that because it's not. It's a journey until we see heaven.
Absolutely, and every part of that gets us closer and closer to who God has made us to be. You know, in John, we're told that, you know, in this world, you will have many troubles, but take heart because I've overcome the world. You know, I was facilitating a Bible study at my church, and it was a Beth Moore study, and I want to say it was James, but I do think it was James. And she brought up that verse, and what she has said has really stuck with me, because what she has said is that, you know, sometimes as Christians, we think that once we, you know, become a Christian or once we are following along and doing it right, and I say that in quotes, you know, but playing the Christian life the way we feel as it should, that we're not going to have trouble. And we get really mad when we do. And she said, you know, that is one of the biggest disservices that we can do to one another as believers because we are promised. We're not told that you might have trouble. We're not told that, well, maybe you're going to have a little trouble, so be ready just in case. We're told that we're going to. But the promise that I am bigger, that Jesus is bigger, wow. You know, that's something to hang our hats on, isn't it?
Exactly, it is.
So those are some of the things that have kind of shaped me and molded me to where I believe that I am right now. You know, it's funny, Matt is 17. So obviously when you talk about journeys lasting for a period of time and journeys changing and growing and developing and all, I mean, I'm right there on it. So now I'm at a different part of my life. I'm at a part where I'm trying something new, you know. Over the last couple of years, I've felt God talking to me about doing some teaching, doing some speaking, doing some writing. And I'll be honest, we have wrestled with that because in no way did I think that was something that I could do or that I was even prepared to do, or that I was worthy to do, or anything. I mean, I was certain that God, in this one moment, had made probably the only mistake that He would ever make in all of eternity, which was putting me on the road to this journey. But He has led me through that, and so now I find that I'm on a journey of faith. And certainly I was on a journey of faith through infertility. I was on a journey of faith through job loss. I was on a journey of faith through illness and cancer. But what those journeys have done now, Cynthia, is they've prepared me on this journey because I've learned that God will be with me. I know the lessons that I've learned from those. And at times that I doubt, and if any of my friends who are local here who've heard me speak, they're going to smile at this point because they could fill in the blank for what I'm getting ready to say right now. At times when I doubt, I sit down and I write out all the times that God has been faithful, all the times that I can look back and say, there he was. And notice I say not all the times that He answered my prayers, but all the time that He was faithful, because He's always, always faithful. Even in the biggest of times, even in the smallest of times. So this journey of faith that I'm on now, I don't know where it'll lead. Honestly, I don't even really know how to do it. But I know that I'm stepping out and that he will order my steps, and where I end up will be exactly where he wants me to be. And I think that's a message for any of us on any journey that we're on.
Exactly. That is a wonderful message, because so many times we sit there and we think, you know, sometimes we compare the other person, you know, like we see their highlight reels to our whole documentary, and we're like, well, we want to get there, and she really didn't. I mean, she's got it easy. She's, that journey probably wasn't anything to her, but we don't look at it, and we see that there is a backstory to all of the journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we do see that God is faithful and we are allowing him to show his faithfulness, that, yes, we do come to the point where we can step out on faith a little bit more, less timidly,
mm-hmm.
even when it's scary.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. There's a devotion that I read just this last week. There's a pastor here in Nashville by the name of Pete Wilson. And this was just a little blurb that I saw on YouTube or Facebook or something. And he was talking about, you know, doubt and doubt as it relates to your faith and whatnot. And he was using the illustration of David and Goliath. And the point he was making with David was an interesting point to me. I'd not thought about it this way. He had said, you know, David had all the facts that all the other Israelite soldiers had, that Goliath was there, and that he was challenging them to battle, you know, and the odds were not looking good that the Israelite soldier could defeat Goliath. But the thing that David did that was different than the other Israelite soldiers is that he chose, even in the face of what looked to be an unwinnable situation, he chose to step out on faith that God could solve that difficult, unwinnable, almost impossible-looking situation, whereas the other soldiers didn't step out on the faith. They looked at their circumstances, and they let their circumstances dictate their response. And I think that that's so true as we go through these journeys, whether they're difficult journeys or growth journeys or easy journeys or happy journeys, whatever type of journey it is, the fact doesn't change that God is in control of the journey, regardless of what the circumstances look like. The fact is still that God is in control of the journey. The choice that we have is, are we going to cling to that truth in spite of our circumstances, or are we going to let our circumstances skew what we know to be true and not act on that truth?
That's
that
a natural human response.
Sure.
So, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Well, I mean, it is a human response. You know, I will tell you, I am the first person to look at my circumstances and want to evaluate them and weigh them out and try to analyze and whatnot, when in actuality, while that is you know, certainly a part to our decision-making process, the fact is God's got this. God's got Julie. God's got my family. God's got my circumstances. God has it. And given half a chance, I can complicate that up an awful lot. And then most times that takes me down some little rabbit trails on my journey that I just assume not go on.
Yeah. My family tells me I'm at the best at squirreling, you know, getting off on different little things. And I can totally relate to that, because so many times I squirrel on those circumstances, and it gets me off track of where God wants me to be.
Absolutely.
Well, Julie, we only have a few more minutes, and so I want to kind of pull this down, and let's just kind of maybe be real direct. Maybe there's someone that's sitting here listening, and she's listened to this whole journey story, and she's saying, yeah, but you don't understand my situation.
Mm-hmm.
What maybe are some things that you would encourage her? Maybe a scripture that has just been a help for you. How can you inspire her by breathing encouragement into her?
Well, the first thing I would say is, I would say you're exactly right. I don't understand your situation, and I won't pretend to understand your situation. However, I have absolute faith that God not only understands your situation, he understands every bit of your situation. And today on my blog, I actually wrote about kind of how I just was feeling that I didn't have anything together. And God led me to Psalms. And in the Psalms, I wrote about, or I didn't write it, David wrote it, but it was the verse where it talked about what I mentioned earlier, that God goes before us, that God goes behind us, mm-hmm. and the thought of him so ever present with me, and the thought of him so ever present with you, I would hope would give you comfort. In Isaiah, we're told that he holds us by his mighty right hand. And I love to think about that because I think about when Matt was young and he would want to dart off to a place that maybe there was danger. And I would run after him and I would grab him and I would hold him tight. You know that hold the mother holds. Mm-hmm. I would hold him tight to prevent him from being in danger. And when I think about that verse in Isaiah where God holds us with his mighty right hand, I think about, in spite of how I feel with my circumstances, that he is holding on to me, and he is not going to let go of me. And I love the safety that that brings me, because I know that my Abba Father right then has me in the good, in the bad, in the hard, in the easy. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, Julie, you don't know how hard it is for me, I would say, you know what, just sit for a minute and just close your eyes and just say, Abba Father, I don't even know how this is going to work out. I don't know if I'll ever get past the hurt, the doubt, the disappointment, the anger, the sorrow. I don't have any idea how it's going to happen, but I do have one idea, and that's you. And I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to do, but I just want you, Jesus. I just want you. And I am certain, my friends, I am certain that the God of all creation, who loves you more than anything, who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that we could have relationship with him, I am certain that he will be there for you and that he already is. That's what I would say.
That's wonderful. Well, Julie, we are just about out of time, but there is one part on your website when I was reading the top 10 list that I had to save for the end. It was your number 11 on a top 10 list. Because it's your blog, you can do that.
I said it's my blog. I can do it.
I know. It just caught me, and I think it's perfect the perfect way to end. And you put in here, I love to teach. It's my passion. It's my gift. It's who I am. So why do I teach? And you put, because someone out there needs to know God loves them. Because someone out there needs to know there's hope in their circumstances. Because someone out there needs to know God has a life more abundant for her. Because someone out there needs to know that hard times don't equal the end. Because someone out there needs to know her identity is not defined by the world. Because someone out there needs to quit chasing her chains and be set free. Because Jesus loves you and you need to know that. Julie, I want to thank you so much for being on our show. If you will, tell our listeners how they can find you on your website. What's your address?
Sure. My website address is very easy, juliesalva.com. And
very easy.
All my contact information, my blog, everything is there. So, Julie
Wonderful.
Salva.
Well,
yes,
I know I have
you.
The link up that you can get on there, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was absolutely my honor. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. And for those of you listening, I just pray that you will just look over your circumstances and not let those confine you. Be out there. Let God help you and encourage you to take the next step of what he has in that abundant life for you. And as you do it, make sure you tell your story, because your story reaches others just as Julie's does, just as mine. So until next week, I just pray that God blesses you and that you can see him in a mighty and powerful way. See you next week. Bye-bye.